If you look at how entrepreneurship is glamorized on social media, you'd think that it's easy and exciting and fun for 98% of the time. Truth is, it's the reverse. Entrepreneurship is super difficult and lonely. Most successful entrepreneurs spend their days fighting fires and trying to stay ahead of the next problem. I'm Bobby Mason. I've had two successful exits as CEO and a few epic bombs. I'm now the CEO and founder of GoMahi.com, a new high-growth crowdsolving platform that will use college students to change the world of innovation. This is my daily story about the successes and failures I encounter while I try to grow a business from $0 to millions in a matter of years. Welcome to my life. It's Saturday morning, so I'm getting a little later start than normal, which is kind of nice. 9 o'clock, I just got into the office. Let's see here. So what I really like to do Saturday mornings is I like to dive into a podcast. So I did this morning. I'm an hour and a half into Tim Ferriss's podcast with Patrick Collison. He is the CEO of Stripe, one of the earliest billionaires. He's only 30 years old, and he's multi-billionaire because Stripe is awesome. But two things that he brought up that I thought was super interesting. He brought up that we should all support companies that are doing things differently, like doing them in a way that we've never seen before. Not that their product is different, because there's always going to be people that have different products. He said that we should support the companies that have a structure that's different. So if their hierarchy is different, the way they manage people is completely different. And the reason we should support them, even if we don't agree, we should support them because even if they found a little wrinkle that made running a business better, even if it's for the smallest part, smallest little structure within your company, it's something that will improve your company. So I thought that was fascinating. I'm really gonna start supporting people that are doing things completely different, because if they find something, I'm gonna implement it. So that's something that I think was brilliant from Patrick. The second thing, maybe there's gonna be more than two, we'll see, but the second thing from Patrick that kind of blew my mind is he was talking about how unimportant the name is of your company at the beginning, which is weird. I always assumed that, you know, you gotta Google, stuff like that, Apple. Well, the names are important, but Stripe actually started with the name, darn it, I wish I could remember. It was like payment/dev/. And the whole thing was spelled out. The slashes were spelled out, everything. So it was a super long name. And they just did it because they thought it was kind of a coding joke. And he said their customer didn't really get the joke. So they changed names multiple times. And even while changing names, they were blowing up. Last thing, because I guess there's a third thing now. He brought up how they were a little different when they started their company. When they actually met with people and or met with potential customers and the customer agreed to using Stripe, instead of setting up a second meeting to set up Stripe, they would basically look at that customer and say, okay, give me your computer, I'll set it up right now. I think that's awesome. I believe at the beginning of any company, if someone agrees to make a purchase with you or partner with you, you should set it up in that moment. And I know I personally am going to start doing a better job of that, because it is pretty exciting when someone signs up with your company. It's pretty easy to be like, all right, let's work on your terms. Let's work on your time. Let's set up another meeting to actually make this thing a part of your company, when you should really just make it a part of their company right then, right there, so you don't have any problems in the future. What are your thoughts on Mary Kay? Just had Mary Kay rent our space this morning, and I'm up in the air on what to think of that company, because the culture, you think about creating a culture like Mary Kay's, and you create a cult-like following. I guess that's really what every company wants. But I also have a hard time knowing if
the cult-like culture is because it's a great atmosphere that people are in love with, or if it's actually kind of cultish, pyramid scheme-ish. Because it's confusing to me that Mary Kay's model, and I hate saying anything bad about them because I don't want them to listen to this and ultimately not want to rent from this space anymore, but it's crazy to me that Mary Kay's model is empowering women. It's what they believe in. They want to create any avenue for them to become empowered and have the opportunity to try to run their own business in a sense. Yet, they make all these women they empower buy a bunch of products and then put their money on the line in order to sell Mary Kay product. Mary Kay basically has no risk. It's insane. It's a brilliant business model. I just don't know how honest it is, I guess. And I'd be kind of curious if any of you are Mary Kay, I don't know, vendors, or you have any association with Mary Kay, let me know what you think, because I'm very curious to know more about Mary Kay, but haven't taken the time to learn anything about it. It's so interesting to me, because I think I looked at the numbers at one point and only like 95% of Mary Kay vendors, employee, whatever they are, make money. I mean, not only 95% of them, time out. Something like only 5% of them make money and 95% of them don't. That is the right way to say it. So I do not know what to think about that. It could have been a random fact that just isn't true, but it's a billion-dollar company, and they created this culture that's so unique in comparison to any other sales team, sales staff, product company out there. It's amazing. About to take a long overdue break to do a lovely podcast with one of my best friends, Brady Riesgraf. Gonna try something out on the Master of the Start podcast today, and really gonna hit home on the whole entrepreneurship thing and startup world. So the two of us are actually gonna discuss one of the companies we made way back in the day when we were kids, a company called Three Timbers that we grew to a decent size, but we also had a crazy fallout. We learned a ton, and it's gonna be really interesting to kind of dive into the different parts of the business and really examine what we did well and what we did very poorly. So look at the Master of the Start podcast. Look it up today. I think it'll definitely be out by the time you listen to this. So look it up, listen to this week's episode. It's episode 21. Let me know if you like the change up every couple of weeks. Really, it's going to be like every 10 episodes. So just let me know. I'm pretty excited about it. Just finished probably my favorite podcast I've done. And I know selfishly it was because with my best friend, but you need to check out Master of the Start. It's great. Episode 21 is going to be the best. I think you'll learn a lot from it because it's just real world. Those are our real world experiences that we had together. We cover a company we built, a service company called Three Timbers. We cover when we knew we were going to be a good team. I'm just looking at our list here. We also talk about how we marketed. We were able to market a company and make a successful company when we had $0 in our pocket. So that's pretty cool. We went into what personally we believe made the company successful. So like, what exactly did we do? Was it our communication with customers? Was it our actual service that we offered? Was it that much better? Was our product better than every other person's? What was it? We also go into the power of yes. So everyone preaches today on the power of no and how you have to say no. But at the beginning, when you start a company, you need to say yes a lot. You need to willingly say yes a lot and put yourself in a position that you can fail constantly. The sixth thing we really got into, and I'm just giving the whole rundown, I mean, maybe for you, but also for my own benefit to look back at this someday. We talked about what went horribly right and horribly wrong in our partnership, because eventually we broke apart and we had a dirty breakup because we just ended up for a moment loving the business more than we loved each other. So I think we're definitely going to do a part two someday, because we didn't even get into the breakup and how we got back together and how we're starting companies again as a new unit. So I freaking love that one. It was with Brady Riesgraf. He's an absolute champ. And I think any person that listens to that episode will get so much out of it. Selfish me.